This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up on one ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are because you're listening to this radio show. I'm a very suspicious person, of course. Ha ha. I don't know what nationality that voice would come from. I don't know if I possess that gene from that nation. I'm going to have to check it out. I'm going to have to do a little genetics test. I might find out, rather than being so Scottish, I'm probably more Ruski. I'm just throwing it out there. Isn't it interesting how you can, track people's genes? Not the kind you put on your legs. No, and around your waist. No. I'm talking about your genes. Your genes. The blueprint for life for you. It's really, once you understand the basics, you get past the telomeres, or the chromosomes and the telomeres, and then you get to the genes, and you get down to business. RNA, DNA, oh my goodness. You can talk about ribosomes and things like that. All that's, once you understand cellular physiology, guess what? You got it, girlfriend and boyfriend. You got it. You can be down for your own 23andMe. There's 46 chromosomes. No, I'm not going to get into this. It's biology. I used to teach it, years ago. Anyway, but it's the basis for life. I'm going to stop now. We've got the genetics going on right now between Putin and Trump. Still talking up a storm. 2 hours and some. They're moving on to 3 hours, I think. Man, these guys could. It's a bro fest. It's a bromance, I guess. I knew this was going to happen because, when you are hated by the pernicious, vile leftists in America, both of you together, collectively, when it's group hate on Trump and Putin by the same folks, you're bound to be bonded together. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, you know how it is when people hate your guts. And then you find out somebody else is equally as hated as you are by the same people. It's kind of like, why are you hated by them? Then they're like, why are you hated by them? Wow, we must be doing something they don't like. Let's appease them. I don't think Trump or Putin are appeasable people. I don't think they fit into the let's appease them mode. Do you? I don't think they are. I'm just so suspicious. But that's my nature. That's my character, to be suspicious. So anyway, so the bromance is on. I mean, it's just the whole world is seeing the bromance. That's really what's happening with Putin and Trump. And it's going to continue, and for good reason. Anyway, we had a pretty feisty first hour. Right now, we're going to have an even feistier second hour. We're going to be talking about, Scott Bennett enters the fray again. Who is this guy? Scott Bennett entering the fray, and some of the other things. Donald Rumsfeld. You might remember Donald Rumsfeld. I remember Donald Rumsfeld because he wrote a book after he left being Secretary of Defense for George Bush the Younger, 9/11 and all that stuff. He left, and I liked him because he was a straightforward kind of guy. You know, I always liked him. But he in the book that he put out, and I don't know the name. Don't ask me the name. I'll think of it here in a second. The card filing index is spinning around in my brain right now. But anyway, he writes this book, and in the book, he's talking about oppression and totalitarianism and stuff, and he brings up North Korea. And when he does, he shows a picture of North Korea. You may have seen this, and I hope you do. You can Google it. Google, right? You can check it out, and you'll see that at nighttime, on the satellite view of Korea at night, it's stunning. It's just because it's just night and day, literally. On the peninsula, the Korean peninsula, the north is completely black. There's no lights, but on the south, it's completely lit up like America, or, you know, big parts of China around Beijing and Hong Kong, Shanghai, all that. And then, of course, in some other countries, there's lighting in all of Japan right next to it. They're glowing, just glowing. But North Korea, dark. That's because they don't have an electrical grid system. You know, they really don't. You know, it's kind of interesting. I'm going to give you some real strong comparisons so you can understand what's going on here with Korea, North Korea, and where they're at right now. Back in the day, in 1992, I visited East Germany, and it was to discover what caused the collapse of communism. I just was, you know, kind of curious, so I went over there to see it. Anyway, and a couple of things I really, really learned about and more deeply embedded was what was going on in the Balkans at the time. That's when Clinton was out there bombing on behalf of his Arab friends, Catholic and Christian strongholds, Orthodox Christian strongholds, so that his Muslim friends could have cover. And so they could penetrate the population of Yugoslavia, who did not have much penetration as far as Islamic belief systems. They just, you know, back in the day when Tito was the communist dictator there, he took everything away from the standpoint of understanding religion. I mean, you could wear your ethnic garb, that was permitted. But if you ask people there about their religion, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, you know, okay, well, what does that mean? Well, blank. I'm a Muslim. What's that mean? They would have no idea, literally. Because literally, in those countries, in a lot of those countries, if you were caught practicing your faith, that was evil, and you were thrown, you know, in a concentration camp, or worse. In some of those countries, it was, you know, it was really severe. The countries like Bulgaria and those countries, it's kind of interesting what happened was that they really got into the whole communism thing, where, you know, people lived in communes under communist rule, and you couldn't own anything personally. You couldn't have anything personally, let alone a Bible. And there are people that were smuggling Bibles and things like that into these countries. This is just some of the missionary work that we were doing. And but people, if they were caught in some of those countries, they would be executed if just for the simple possession of a Bible. Now, and of course, everything came from the state. They were totally dependent on the state. they could work and the state would pay them. What would they pay them in? Well, they might pay them with a handful of grain at the end of the day. You couldn't have your own farm animals. You couldn't. None of that was. It was all owned by the state and given to you by the state, what the state wanted to give you. Now, that's communism big time. Well, that's what's going on in Korea right now. The other end of communism. That, you know, this goes back to the days of Reagan wanting to, you know, tear down the wall and all this other good stuff back in 88, 89. And ultimately, it did come down. But, you know, for years, the Soviet Union still stuck around until about 91. Then it collapsed. It reshaped itself. You know, communism reshaped itself into, it manifested through things like the United Nations, One World Order business, and all that other stuff. That's how it reshaped itself, and radical environmentalism. And we've got a very, very radical, pernicious variety of communism here in this country that Obama, you know, of course, personifies, and Hillary Clinton. We're still stuck with it. That's the deep state. Now, Putin, on the other hand, Putin was all about what? Now, Putin's all about, you know, shedding that belief system, that communist system, believe it or not. And he doesn't like the notion that we in America, in our press, our mainstream media, and all these folks are trying to tear down the Russian people and tear him down. He's not the oligarch that's the problem. There are oligarchs, rich people in Russia, though, that still believe in communism. And guess who they're friendly with? Barack Hussein Obama, of course. And Hillary Rodham Clinton? Uranium One, anyone? We'll be right back.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
A well-regulated militia is necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. At Shooter's Paradise, we support and supply that right. Shop online at either shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com to see our huge inventory and great prices. That's shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com and enter the zip code 95993 to shop with Shooter's Paradise.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-273-0251 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-273-0251. Again, 800-273-0251.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have to paying outrageous prices.
Pedialax Facts. If your kid's system is...
And finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
There are enough laws on the books by Congress that are very clear in terms of how we have to enforce our immigration system.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
I get tired of saying that defense is to be made an excuse for wasting dollars. I don't believe we should pay 1 cent for defense more than we have to.
I seriously question an increase in the Pentagon budget in the face of the department's recent Inspector General's report. How can we seriously consider a $50 billion increase in the defense budget when DOD's own auditors, say the department cannot account for $2.3 trillion in transactions in 1 year alone?
It is, I was going to say terrifying. It is such a monumental task. I have met with two former officials of the Pentagon who served in the budget and controller and those areas. And I've mused over the fact that I've read some of these things and asked what they thought.
We process nearly 10 million paychecks a month. 10 million times to get things screwed up. I've had my pay screwed up 6 times since I've been in the department. And it's really bad when you screw up your boss's pay.
I doubt, to be honest, that people inside the department are going to be capable of sorting this out. I have a feeling it's going to take some folks from outside to come in and look at this and put in place a process that over a period, and I regret to say, but I've seen how long things take, I think it's going to take a period of years to sort it out. And I think it'll probably take the cooperation of the Congress to try to get the system so that you can actually manage the financial aspects of that institution rather than simply report on things that have happened imperfectly.
There's more oversight over the Head Start program than there is over the entire military budget.
It's a terrible record, and it's preposterous that the Defense Department doesn't know what's happened to this money.
This situation's a disgrace. It tells me that we can't meet our constitutional obligations to the taxpayers of our country to make sure that things are honestly and legally spent.
They were told major cuts in education programs, and then we read, well, you know, $500 million is paid per year that isn't owed.
It is an incredible thing that we arm the world and then turn around and come to Congress and say, look at all these weapons out there. They're almost superior to ours. They're comparable to ours. Well, of course they are. They're ours. We sold them to them.
Since the end of the Cold War, we've sold more military weapons than the rest of the world combined.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
My name is Jack Shanahan, Vice Admiral, U.S. Navy, retired. One of our nuclear bombs blows up Hiroshima 15 times over. 5 devastates Russia. After that, this is how many the U.S. has left. I feel safe reducing nuclear weapons. Do you?
Well, of course, that was the report that was going on about, this is back in the day, And this is kind of interesting. This is another one that we're going to run a clip on here in a second. But that was Donald Rumsfeld, 2001, September 10th. That was a hearing. Robert Byrd, the real racist bigot that Robert Byrd was. He was a member of the KKK. And he was a Democrat, of course. He was the one asking the questions. And celebrated, of course, Obama celebrated his. I think he went to his funeral or something like that. And so did Hillary Clinton. And they just love the KKK guy. Just, that's Robert Byrd. But you heard that. That's from 2001. That was September 10th, 2001, when Rumsfeld was being grilled. And you had an Inspector General's report that said, hey, there's $2.3 trillion missing. Trillion. Not billion. Trillion. In 2001 dollars from the Pentagon. Talk about a fleece. Now, listen, Rumsfeld had no control over that. Rumsfeld was the guy who came in office under George Bush. He had to go through the confirmation hearings. I think he was only a couple months into the seat. Yet he's being called on the carpet, right? Well, yeah, that he inherited it. He inherited it from Clinton. What happened to that $2.3 trillion? Better yet, what happened the next day? Right? Do you think the dots could be connected there? Since the very next day, the people who were providing that work and the reports and had the evidence were killed in the Pentagon. I don't know about you, but the Pentagon's a big facility, and I know that when the so-called, you call it a plane, you call it a missile, whatever you want to do, call it what you want. But those people died. The people who accounted for all that money. I don't know. But, you know, I get suspicious, don't you? This is stuff that's been around for a long time, ladies and gentlemen. And it's just kind of resurfacing again, because what happened to that $2.3 trillion? Now, our understanding that there's actually even more today that's out there that's missing than the $2.3 trillion. Just kind of grew over Obama's time, and you know how it goes. So it goes, right? In Hillary Clinton's time. I wonder why that is. These are the same people who hate Donald Trump. I'm just finger pointing out this part at this time, right? They absolutely hate Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump actually might find out where that $2.3 trillion went. And you might too. And it could be really scary to find out, but you know, we got to start somewhere to figure out what's going to happen with this deep state, because if we don't, then the deep state's going to take us over. That's really what we have here. We have that choice to be made. Either we find out about what's going on with this deep state issue, or we don't. And if we don't, we're in real trouble, right? Right, you got it. That's part of the issue that's going on here. Now, we might come back to Fox News because there's something happening with Vladimir Putin. But we might also come back to, I think it's a Colbert show, talking about the Rumsfeld thing. Let's see if we can, well, it's a little bit too long. But we're gonna chime back in, I think, with what's going on in the land of Oz, if you will. It's not the land of Oz, of course. It happens to be the land of Fox News. Relative to what's going on right now with Putin, and I don't know if they're doing something with Putin right now and Trump. They're supposed to get into a meeting. That's what I understand. They're supposed to get into a meeting, and once the meeting is all set and ready to go, you know, there's a back and forth and back and forth, and you've got the ambassador here, ambassador there, and all that sort of thing. That's supposed to be sit down at a big table and all that stuff. That's supposed to be what they're looking at. So we're going to join Fox News here in a second. Here we go.
Coverage continues live on this historic day. The meeting between Presidents Trump and Putin, we're told the lunch now is wrapping up. The bilateral meeting may conclude any moment now. And once that is over, we'll see these two men before reporters there in the briefing room that is starting to trickle in right now. And Philip, at the moment, you think about so many things that these two men bring to the table. Talk about the relationship. They've met two other times, of course, before, but
okay, we're going to go ahead and rejoin our own normal programming here. because they're a couple minutes away from their little talks and stuff, and we'll get you back up to speed on that. Anyway, stay with us. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-5095 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-5095. Again, that's 800-711-5095.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliates. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
We're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. NewCaliforniaState.com. NewCaliforniaState.com. For all of your freedoms and liberties that you are not enjoying if you're in California or in other states, Illinois, New York, Washington, Oregon. All these communist-held centers. But, you know, communism is just flourishing in California. My God, and the millennials are just eating it up. Not all millennials. Not all millennials. We're going to, just because it's such a special day, we're monitoring what's going on in Helsinki, Finland. Lutefisk, anyone? Have you ever had Lutefisk? How do these people do that to themselves? Their bodies are just, have got to be offended by it all. Donald Rumsfeld and this whole thing that broke out in 2001, The day before, we're going to be playing a little clip here. I think it's from the Colbert Show when Donald Rumsfeld reappears to talk about what's going on with going back, I think, in time. I think this clip, if I remember, because I remember seeing this clip years ago. It's a YouTube clip. And I remember seeing this. It came back from what day? Okay, published on the... Okay, this is 2016. And Rumsfeld weighs in on this thing again. I can remember this whole... This was just a couple years ago. But yeah, anyway, so Rumsfeld weighs in on the 2.3 million in 2000... This now fast forward to 2016. Here he goes.
With Donald Rumsfeld... Secretary Rumsfeld. Donald Rumsfeld... Are you ever upset that now there is another Donald out there who is even more famous than you about not apologizing for anything? Because he will not back down from anything he's ever said. Does he strike you as a commander in chief?
I don't know him. I've never met him.
Really?
What strikes me about him is that he's... I can't imagine... how Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump can pull crowds of 20,000 people to an event to hear them speak. Presidents don't do that.
They're appealing on an emotional level. The people are very frustrated with what's going on in Washington. And whether or not you agree with what either man is saying, they're saying, I agree with you. We have to change the status quo in some way.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah. They're touching a nerve somewhere.
Does a Secretary of Defense affect policy or implement policy?
The president is the policymaker. Mm-hmm. And he takes recommendations from his cabinet and from senior officials in the White House. And then he makes a judgment. He decides what ought to be done, and the American people basically decide, because they decide who's going to be president, and that's the way the system works.
When the decision was made to go into Iraq in 2003, the situation that we have now, which is a chaotic Iraq and Syria with the control of ISIS and, mm-hmm. well, the chaos following the Arab Spring in the area as well. Is the situation we have now, was it ever considered to be an outcome? Was this a worst-case scenario or a beyond-worst-case scenario?
I think the disorder in the entire region and the conflict between the Sunnis and the Shia is something that generally people had not anticipated. On the other hand, if you think what Eisenhower said, he said, the plan is nothing. Planning is everything. The point being that anything changes with first contact with a problem. The enemy has a brain. They make mm-hmm. decisions. People ask me, well, why are they doing what they're doing? And the answer is they're doing what they're doing because they can do it, because they don't have big armies, big navies, big air forces, which they can't compete with us. So they are attacking from an asymmetrical standpoint, and they're trying to destroy the nation-state concept in the world. The first thing they do is to eliminate a border, for example, between mm-hmm. Iraq and Syria.
The top two Republicans and the top two Democrats, none of them think that going into Iraq was the right choice to make. Do you have any reflection on the decision to go into Iraq?
I'm going to stop it here because this plays into what was going on September 11th, 2001, and then the result was the invasion of Iraq, ultimately, 2003.
Do you still think it was the right thing to do 12 years later?
I think when the president made the decision, there were the Iraqi government had opposed something like 15 or 16 UN resolutions. Mm-hmm. They were repressive. They had used chemical weapons on their neighbors, the Iranians. They had used chemical weapons on their own population, the Kurds. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of evidence that they'd already used chemical weapons. And it seems to me the president, given the facts he had from the intelligence community, made the right decision. In retrospect, they didn't find large caches of chemical or biological weapons, although the UN inspector, Charles Delfler, did say they had the facilities still were there, the people were still there who had the capability, and the precursors to these weapons were still there, and they could have reconstituted them in a matter of weeks.
there's one question that gets asked of you and other people who were in favor of the invasion of 2003 in Iraq that I, this question I don't think is fair, which is,
well, then
if
why,
you
ask,
now,
why ask an unfair question?
No. I'm going to tell you why I don't think it's unfair. I'm going to ask you a different question.
Oh, I see.
Just tell you why. I think this question is unfair, which is if you knew now what you...
Oh, I see.
If you knew then what you knew now, would you make the same decision? You only know then what you know then.
That's
you
right.
only know now what you know now. And our now is tomorrow's then. They'll be saying the same thing to... today, you know, 15 years from now.
It's true.
But that leads me to your most famous saying, which is talking about uncertainty in the world, that there are known knowns, things we know, and tell me if I get this wrong, because I know this is your baby. There are known unknowns, things we know that we don't know. And there are also unknown unknowns.
They're the ones that get you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in this case, isn't the one that got us something that is a, there's a fourth option that no one ever talks about, which is the unknown knowns, which is the things that we know, and then we choose not to know them or not let other people know we know. That there are some things... recently, a declassified 2002 memo from the Joint Chiefs of Staff says that 90% of the,
I'm going to save you embarrassment.
You don't have to, I can't be embarrassed. I'm a comedian. That this thing came out. It says, our knowledge of the Iraqi nuclear weapons program is based largely, perhaps 90%, on analysis of imprecise intelligence. So there is analysis of intelligence that you believe that there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and I believe that sincerely. I don't think anybody made up the belief that there were weapons of mass destruction. I don't. That is cynicism beyond I would ever want to think of my government. Mm-hmm. I believe that everybody believed that they were there, mm-hmm. but there was no hard proof that they were there, mm-hmm. and yet it was presented to the American people. So there was an unknown known for the American people. It was known that there was not hard evidence, but we were presented a partial picture. And that's the unknown known that we were denied. Do you think that was the right thing to do?
Well, first of all, that memo was sent by the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yes.
And we put it on my website mm-hmm. and made it public years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's not...
No, I know it's declassified, yeah.
Well, yeah, but I don't put classified things on my website. I want you to know that.
You can get in trouble for that.
Yeah.
I guess, I'm not trying to ask you an unfair question. I'm trying to ask you what I think is a fair question.
Yeah.
Were there things that the administration... are doing?
Anyway, we're going to come back. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. We'll be right back.
Militia is necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. At Shooter's Paradise, we support and supply that right. Shop online at either shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com to see our huge inventory and great prices. That's shootersparadiseonline.us or theshootingstore.com and enter the zip code 95993 to shop with Shooter's Paradise.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-5095 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-5095. Again, that's 800-711-5095.
Red State Talk Radio is now available as a voice command on your Amazon Echo and Echo Dot by simply saying, Alexa, play Red State Talk Radio.
Red State Talk Radio on TuneIn.
Turn to every single American. Now, we've been hearing all these stories about sanctuary cities that...
You can now find us on the Amazon Echo and Echo Dot, on TuneIn, on iHeartRadio, and we also have the phone apps in the App Store for your particular phone. And just in case we activated your Echo Dot, Alexa, stop.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-558-7297 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-558-7297 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-558-7297. That's 1-800-558-7297. Again, 1-800-558-7297.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're listening to Stephen Colbert's interview of Donald Rumsfeld. This is in 2016. 2 years ago, a little over 2.5 years ago, actually. And we started this whole thing talking about Donald Rumsfeld and what happened in to $2.3 trillion that was missing from the Pentagon. Poof, gone. When he was being grilled in Congress, and rightfully so. And, you know, keep in mind, he'd only been, I think, on the job for about 3 months because President Bush was elected and then sworn in January of 2001, and then 9/11 happened on, well, September 11th, 2001. So Donald Trump sat down, kind of like the new guy on the block, you know, just inherited the position, got into the job, and all of a sudden there's, you know, his own inspector general's going, you know, oh, we got a problem, and the problem now is yours because you're the new guy, and the Clinton guy's gone, and guess what? That guy, well, it left it kind of shortchanged. $2.3 trillion is missing from the Pentagon budget. And, of course, Donald Rumsfeld's in front of Congress. He's going, it's missing. I don't know where it went. And why should he? Of course, this is all part of that game, you know, that we were talking about in actually in the first hour. Oh, I was president today, and I'm going to set it up so all of a sudden when you become president tomorrow, you get to take all of my evil stuff, all the things that I did that was bad. See, this is that Russian collusion thing. That, you know, we had Rosenstein who came out last Friday, and he comes out and said, "Oh, we're going to indict 12 Russians." Well, they all live in Russia, of course. So there's no extradition treaty between Russia and the United States. Hello, it's worthless, the whole thing. But, you know, all the stuff that he's talking about and making accusations about with the Russians, it was all done under Obama. But guess who's left holding the bag of sorts is Donald Trump. This is the type of stuff the deep state operates in, but it blows up on him. And the same is in the case with Donald Rumsfeld. 15 years later, 15 years later, on Stephen Colbert's show, there's a little bit of reflection by Donald Trump, and we're going to get back into this. A couple more minutes left of this. Stephen, incredible interview with Stephen Colbert and Donald Rumsfeld.
The president had available to him intelligence from Iraq all elements of the government. And the National Security Council members had that information. It was all shared. It was all supplied. And it's never certain. If it were a fact, it wouldn't be called intelligence.
Wow. I think you answered my question.
Yeah. I mean, the intelligence is tough to do. And what you do is you look at all of that, and you've got certain set of facts that you can verify 100%. Mm-hmm. And then there's information that is not capable of being verified 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's out of that aggregation of information mm-hmm. that presidents make decisions all the time.
I guess the ultimate question is that because there turned out to be no weapons of mass destruction, and because the American people now feel in majority that it was the wrong war, do you think it undermines our trust of the government that is necessary for your intelligence apparatus that you're describing to do their job? Because if you say, trust us, we've got this, and you get it so wrong, isn't another level of damage that we won't trust them next time?
I think there's always a risk that people looking at government will come to conclusions that they may not be right. We that's why we have a democracy. I mean, that's why people vote and they make judgments. I think most people in the United States understand that government's not perfect. I mean, look how long it takes to get snow removed. But on the other hand, I think what's really important are the intentions and the capabilities of the people. And for the most part, I think it was Churchill who said that democracy is the worst form of government except for any other that's ever been tried. And
you know what else he said? Try my solitaire game. Churchill solitaire. Donald Rumsfeld, everybody. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That was a real honor to talk about with you. Thank you.
Mr. Rumsfeld, lot to Mr. Rumsfeld there, reflecting. See, because what happened back in the day, what happened after 2001, after September 11th, and after the Twin Trade Towers, and, of course, Flight 93, all that stuff, after the so-called terrorist attack, then we went to war with Iraq, and that was by 2003. And this is all that intelligence that he was talking about there was based upon information that they had to make a decision about to go to war, and they went to war. And, of course, now we're left today with what we have today. That's really where the genesis of all this came from. So Rumsfeld had a lot on his plate, but the bigger issue stems from that $2.3 trillion that we started the hour with. Where did that money go? What happened to it? Who stole it? Was it stolen? Or just an accounting error? You know, just a little jot and tittle here. Just a mistake. That's the big question. That is the big question. I think what we're going to do, though, I think at this point, is we're going to see if we can get some Fox information. Ah, we're going to join Fox here real quick. Figure out what's going on here.
An hour longer than was on the schedule, but that's okay. We'll find out in a moment just how much these men had to talk about and to share. Back with my guest here now. Ed, do you think there is a breakthrough in Helsinki?
It's hard to tell, obviously, but I'm very skeptical of the president in that CBS interview yesterday saying, I've got very low expectations. I don't expect something. This is a president who likes the dramatic moment, or frankly, I don't think we'd be in Helsinki. So I would be surprised if there's not some kind of an agreement, either on Syria, Iran, pick your subject. The other point I would make is
nuclear
weapons and disarmament, as you suggested.
But in order to do that, you have to do a lot of groundwork.
Sure.
Prior to coming together and meeting, perhaps the announcement is a suggestion that they'll continue to work toward
that's what they did in Singapore.
As opposed to a final solution.
We didn't have a final deal with North Korea either in terms of denuclearization, but you had a piece of paper that said, we're getting the ball rolling.
Okay. Dan?
No, I think that makes sense. We've got so many contentious issues here. I think you're right to start with arms control. Even during the worst of times for us, during the Cold War, when President Reagan, rightly so, called the Soviet Union an evil empire, President Reagan was meeting with general secretaries of the Soviet Union, including Gorbachev, and negotiating arms control deals. But that took years. And I think what we might see today, if we see some deliverables, is maybe the establishment of some working groups that could focus on Syria, North Korea, arms control, and other things that matter to both countries.
Do you imagine you walk out of here with just a handshake?
I'd just
and
be
say
surprised.
That, you know, we're building on relationships, yep. And, you know, relationships are important, but this was as they said in Moscow earlier today, a first step.
Yeah, that's always possible. I would just be surprised. Both of these leaders have a flair for the dramatic, particularly President Trump. He does want something substantive to come out of here. I'm not saying it's going to change the world forever, but he wants something to move the ball forward. And you mentioned this point earlier. If you think back to 1 week ago, how things move at the speed of light in the Trump administration. It was only 1 week ago he was at the White House reshaping the Supreme Court for the next 3 or 4 decades if Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed. And so now here he is on the world stage, his second summit one-on-one in 4.5 weeks. It was just June 12th, 13th in Singapore with North Korea's leader. And now here we are July 16th. Two pretty traumatic one-on-one meetings in the span of 1 month.
And on that point, speaking with administration officials over the weekend, and lowering expectations in Scotland before the president came here. And Vladimir Putin did the same thing, too, by the way. They talked about this could be the first step in a multi-year path, mm-hmm. which is reflecting on Singapore, and you were there. That was the message, too, with Chairman Kim.
Yes, and we have to be clear-eyed that Kim Jong-un has been backsliding. And President Trump tweeted out that letter from Kim a few days ago saying, I'm still on the path, but there have been these satellite images suggesting otherwise. And I think there's similarities in the two summits as well. Can you trust Kim Jong-un with what he signs? Can you trust Vladimir Putin? As Dan has spelled out very, very well, he's a former KGB guy and someone who's poisoned people, as John Roberts was reporting, puts free journalists in jail. He's a bad guy, and it's hard to tell whether you can trust this man.
To this point, that's exactly right, Ed. How much of this, Dan, is about trust today?
I think both sides will trust a process where they can express their views openly with each other. What I think with Russia and with Putin in particular is we're in a mistrust but verify part of our relationship. And one of the interesting things, I will speak from my own background in the intelligence community, is that after this meeting, the intelligence community will be looking for reflections in Russia of how the Russians perceived this meeting. Vladimir Putin will talk about it. His associates will discuss it, and it will be on the intelligence community, the onus on our collectors, to inform the president about how Russia really will, in fact, react to whatever agreements were made.
There was a spokesperson for Vladimir Putin who was speaking in Moscow earlier today before Vladimir Putin flew here to Helsinki. He talked about a baby step. That was the quote he used, a baby step toward fixing what are considered bad relationships. And a lot of people think, well, the Cold War was pretty bad. The Cuban Missile Crisis was bad in the 1960s. The interest of mutual shared destruction, that was pretty serious when it came to nuclear weapons in the Cold War. But they reflect on a relationship that's gone sour over the past 4 years. And the moment it went sour was the incursion into eastern Ukraine and the seizing of the port at Crimea. And that was the moment then things went the other direction. Do you agree with that, Dan?
I think it was a combination of things. You know, over the past 20 years since Vladimir Putin seized power, he's embarked on a Russia resurgent strategy. In our backyard, countries like Venezuela and Cuba, in Syria, where he's propped up Assad's regime, guilty of crimes against humanity.
Syria, Venezuela is more from Iran, and Hezbollah. Anyway, we got to leave. We're out of here. Believe it or not, we're out of here for this hour. I don't know where it all goes, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about Donald Rumsfeld, more about 9/11. Where did that money go? $2.3 trillion. Huh. And, of course, California. Dianne Feinstein, Kevin DeLeon, Mr. Communist himself, he's been chosen to be the new senator from California, or at least endorsed anyway by the Democratic Party. We're going to be talking about that anyway. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news. That's agenda21radio.news. And also, newcaliforniastate.com. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. And remember, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
Send it out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21. You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN. American Exceptionalism News Network.